Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And boy, are there a lot of those. And it is Tuesday, September 13th, 2022. Good afternoon, Dave.
Hey, what a day. What a day in the financial markets.
It certainly is.
No one left unscathed.
Well, maybe not. But we'll talk about that when we talk about gold and silver. Let's go ahead and get to the prices. And to some degree, you're right. There's been the only thing that wasn't scathed today was the U.S. dollar that got stronger. So again, we saw pressure on gold, and dollar got stronger with the idea that they're going to be raising it at least 75 basis points next week, if not higher. Who knows? With the inflation report that came out today, and we'll be talking about that here in just a few minutes. So, yes, pressure on gold down $22.1703. Silver is down 42 cents at $19.44. Platinum is down 28 at $888. Palladium was down a whopping 7.5% at $2,184. The USDX today, as I said, was stronger, up, it's huge, 1.59. I don't ever remember seeing those types of moves, 109.87. So we're ready to soon pop the 110. Crude oil was down just 25 cents at 87.53. And here we go into the exciting portion of it. But that's really not that bad. The Dow Jones was only down 4%. You know, it's really the scheme of things. 1,276 to the down, 31,104. The S&P was down almost 4.5%, 3,932. The NASDAQ was down almost 5.25%, 632 points, 11,633. And world markets, Europe was all negative. Asia, the Hang Seng was the only one that was negative. 10-year yield, 3.425%. 3.425%. So that was also to the upside today. And the other oils were down. The only one that was higher was natural gas. That was up 2.25%, 8.435%. For natural gas. So the Dow tumbled 1,200 points. This is the worst day since June of 2020. And does anybody remember back to what happened, those 1,000 and 3,000 point drops a day? It was pretty exciting, and especially if you own gold and silver, because you were able to preserve your purchasing power. You were not losing to the degree. So yeah, we look at the markets today, and you know, we saw the Dow down 4%, and gold was down 1.25%. So where would you rather be, even to the downside? So even silver, 2%. So where would you, what would you rather be holding? And you know, we're going to talk about some things today that nobody's talked about. When was the last time you heard the debt mentioned? The only time you hear the debt mentioned is when you hear about the misinformation comes from DC about, oh, we saved $1 trillion off. Now that's hogwash. Absolutely hogwash. So again, the inflation numbers today, rising housing, food costs offset the drop in gas prices. Now, the Bureau of Labor Statistics today reported that the CPI increased 0.1% for the month and 8.3% over the past year. I'm not even going to talk about if we exclude food and energy costs. That's just so ridiculous, you know. But, you know, that's the one you're going to hear most often from, you know, all your financial planners and so forth. But economists had been expecting the headline inflation to fall, and it didn't. And a gain of 8% over the year. We saw energy prices fall, 5% in a month? In the month? And again, so if energy prices fall 5% in the month, led by a 10.6% slide in the gasoline index, those declines weren't enough to offset the increases everywhere else. Food index increased 0.8% in August. Shelter costs, which makes up the third of the CPI, jumped 0.7%. And they're up 6.2% from a year ago. Now, take a look at medical care services. They're up 5.6% from August of 2021. New vehicle prices also climbed. We did see the used vehicles fall a little bit. And again, this is a reminder of how long a road that we have to follow. And I don't think inflation is going to come back down to earth, not with everything that's going on. It can't, it won't. I don't know how, unless they just flat out lie about and change the numbers, which is a very good possibility. But you'll still be paying out of your pocketbook, and you'll be sitting there wondering, well, gee whiz, if inflation fell to 6%, how come nothing else seems to fall that much in the grocery stores and everything else, and I'm still paying more than what I normally did or did? So, but anyway, so again, buckle up, ladies and gentlemen. Dave?
Yeah, I mean, as you mentioned, Treasury yields jumped on the news of inflation. What I find even more notable than the jump in the 10-year yield per se, which is important, but the 5-year and 2-year yields are higher. So we're still in a reverse or in an inverted yield curve condition, which is now becoming a prolonged signal of recession. So we'll keep watching that relationship, and we'll continue to tell you when things go back to quote normal.
If they ever do.
I hope you're not holding your breath on that. Now, following this morning's release, I mean, traders were looking at the possibility of, they had been, I think 42% of them were looking at a half point move, and that's now completely off the table. Now 10%, I believe there's a chance of a full percentage point hike when they meet next Wednesday and Thursday. I don't believe we'll see that full point, but I think it certainly ties them to 75 basis points, and no one should be talking anymore about the 0.5%. Now, you know, how the markets are going to react to that, I'm afraid we're just going to have to wait and see, Melody.
You know, they're not going to do a full point because it would upset the markets too much. So the markets are used to the 75 basis points, so that's what they're going to do. And any other tricks that they can pull out of their back pocket, you know, they'll do. But even Janet Yellen this weekend said, and I don't normally quote her or agree with her, but she said, hey, Fed's got to be lucky. You know, they need to be extremely lucky. Those are my words. But she did say that the Fed has to be lucky. They have to be, I can't even remember the first part of her quote, something about lucky, or, you know, they have to be pretty smart. Well, I don't think the Federal Reserve is smart enough to undo their doing.
And to know their limits in both directions.
You know, so
this could be the fatal flaw.
Yeah, well, they've gone too far, and they are between a rock and a hard place. And there's nowhere else for them to go. You know, so they can tread water back and forth, you know. But how long is that going to last until something eventually just ignores what they're going to do, because it's not going to have any impact? There's too many things going on. The federal debt approaches $31 trillion. Oh, but we've already closed. Oh, we're down a trillion plus. Yeah, right. The gross government debt is on the verge of collapsing $31 trillion. This is the Department of Treasury. They released this showing the national debt, $30.9 trillion. And it's going to be over 31 by the end of the month. So, and again, you know, the boasting about the dramatic drop in an annual budget deficit is just fictitious. It's not real. The 2020, we've seen what happens when government shuts down worldwide, shut down economies. You just don't do it. And I've said since 2020, it's going to take years for this to follow through. You know, you just can't shut down world economies, bring it up the next day for months and bring it up the next day and expect everything to go back to normal. Not going to happen. And when you had most of these world economies shut down for 6 months or more in some of these areas. And yeah, it just doesn't come back to normal. The damage has been done. So I don't know, Dave.
Well, again, we talked about this last week a little bit. Presidents typically get too much credit when certain things are good, and they get too much blame when certain things are bad. But either way, presidents and both parties, presidents of both parties are guilty as you know what for doing this. But when they, you know, when I hear Biden, you know, sort of take credit for the significant fall from 2.8 trillion last year to 1 trillion by the end of this year, that's just disingenuous. I mean, it could very well be that those are the numbers. But remember, just Congress has enacted, I mean, the stimulus programs are basically over. And so to say that, you know, the budget deficit's down a trillion eight because...
Yeah, but they've spent three times, 10 times as much. That's the funny thing.
Well, over the course of
it doesn't matter.
Three fiscal years. Well, no, that's what I'm. What I'm. Yeah. What I'm. Well, I don't know what you're saying. If you're disagreeing with me, or
no, they're disingenuous is a nice term. Flat out lying, in my book. But anyway. And it's all, and you're right. It's both parties. It's both administrations from the top down. They've been doing it for decades. If they don't like the numbers, they changed the equations to get the numbers that they wanted, and they've created this illusion over these years. So, you know, this anything that they do in today's world is just trying to create another illusion to fool the American people to think that everything is fine. And to some degree, I get it. They don't want panic, but they're already having the panic. I mean, look at the crime across this country. Where do you think all that's coming from? It's all part of it. It's all part of the picture. It's all part of a people that are, you know, have too much time on their hands, don't have jobs, don't have the money, the stress. I mean, it's a nation that's unfolding, and unfortunately, it's everywhere. It's in other countries. People are tired of it. And what do you get when people are tired of something? They react. So I understand why government doesn't want panic, because then they get blamed for it, and they don't want that. They don't want, you know, they don't want to be accountable for that. You know, they'd rather pass it on to the next administration or whatever. But some administrations are worse than others. So, but in today's world, I don't know which one is worse, but anyway, so yeah, that's we got the end of the year coming up, September 30th. You don't hear anybody talking about it, Dave. Everybody just sort of ignores it.
Well, there's another,
elections.
Well, there's, yeah, the election certainly in early November, but there's also, you know, another debt limit debate and a move to keep government open well into the new fiscal year in lieu of normal appropriation bills, which seems to be getting harder and harder every year to enact. But you know, maybe that's okay when you know if we just live off of continuing resolutions, because then perhaps it's harder for all these special interests to have their impacts on where this deficit spending goes to.
Yeah, but wouldn't the continuing resolutions continue the money being funneled to?
Well, yeah, that it will it would be. It's just that it wouldn't be any worse. Like with a regular appropriations bill typically would result in, meaning more spending.
Yeah. Well, they're going to do the spending one way or another. That's the only thing they can, that's the only thing they have in their back pockets anymore. They either got to get the money directly to the people so that they can go out there and spend and create this fake economy, or they're going to have to continue with all the subsidies and everything else. And it's just even all those billions and billions of dollars that are going to this Green New Deal ain't quick enough in order to create jobs or anything like that, and it ain't going to work anyway. So I don't know which will fail first, So it's just, I think, hope to some degree, just people thinking that, well, maybe something better will come along, but that ain't going to happen. Not going to happen. And it's better to realize that and get prepared for it than to believe that government, that the DC has your best interests at heart. Well, they don't. Never have, never will. And the only interest they have at heart, I believe, is their own, and more power, more money. We did talk a little bit about this, Dave, about Goldman Sachs planning to lay off a bunch of people. They're the first ones. And I'll guarantee you, maybe after today, we might see a few more of them come out saying that they're going to be laying people off, call it seasonal. This isn't seasonal. I had a crack up. I had a
Well,
crack up. Seasonal.
what bugs me about this is the fact that Goldman had bought back another $1 billion of
Yeah.
its own stock in the second quarter this year. That came after last year's $5 billion in buybacks and after its second quarter profit of about $12 billion and $59 billion in all of 2021. The only thing I can say is layoffs? Really, Goldman?
I know. It really, and $2 billion. Hey, I hear the break music. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TheTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Oh, mercy, mercy, me, you. All things and what they used to be, radiation underground and in the
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter, and it's going to be a juicy one with the big drops in the market today, and I think it probably has some follow-through for the rest of the week. I don't know if it will rebound a little bit today, but the market was up a couple hundred points this morning before it actually opened and the report came out. So it did do a big reversal throughout the day and then some. I don't know what you want to call it. It's more than a reversal. It was a tank.
Yes, it was.
So got people's attention, though. It got people's attention, and that's the good news about that. So don't wait. You got some great prices on gold and silver, and I don't care if the metals go down and correct. It's more buying opportunities because things will turn around. They always do. They always do. I don't know. We talked about Goldman Sachs. So we talked a little bit yesterday also about the railroad contracts. I guess they hit a snag, Dave.
Yes, they did. And this could have national implications, and it certainly doesn't bode well for an economy that's still stuck in supply snafu land. Apparently the big sticking point is sick time.
Sick time.
Of all things, yeah. The Union Pacific and BNSF apparently have rejected a proposal from the union. I guess I should say unions. They've been fighting about this particular policy, their time paid off policies with the unions for years. Interesting, BNSF, one of the comp two companies, which is owned by Warren Buffett, Berkshire Hathaway, just is calling the union's claims false. You know, they say, hey, rail employees are provided with significant time off. Generally, crew employees have over 3 to 4 weeks of paid vacation, over 10 personal leave days, which are available presumably for sick days. So not sure where this goes, but a strike would not be good for anybody at any time, but particularly heading into a holiday season.
You know, it's funny, 10 personal days. I mean, what the heck is wrong with that? You don't go to work to be sick. I mean, usually when I was younger and I worked for other people, you went to work sick. You didn't take time off. You didn't get time to take off. If you took time off, you know, maybe a day or two, or, you know, you were zapped for it. You know, there wasn't sick, and I worked for some big corporations. Things have changed, and workers have gotten softer, I believe. The work ethics just aren't what they used to be, and it amazes me. The big news was I can't remember which company it was. I guess it was Time, the New York Times. Their employees are saying, we don't want to go back to the office. And they were, and I'm not a fan of New York Times, but they were giving them, I think they only had to come into the office 3 days. And they said, no, we don't want that. It's just like, you know what, I'd probably fire them. It's like you come back or you lose your job. I mean, they don't do that anymore because you're the bad guy. And there's been so much image building with these corporations and so forth. I don't know. Maybe it's just old school. Maybe I'm just old and I think things should be different. But people aren't challenged anymore. I mean, that's why 3 in 5 Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. You know? Things are getting more expensive. There's a new study showing that 58% of Americans report living paycheck to paycheck in May. And that's up 54% the same month last year. And these were people earning 50 to 100 grand. 62% were stuck in this cycle. And so, you know, it's not just lower and middle income groups, but that's all you ever hear talk about. It's affecting everyone. Even that took the researchers a little bit by surprise in this survey, the study, 30% of people with incomes of $250,000 or more, hey, they were living paycheck to paycheck as well. So it's kind of interesting, Dave. You know, we hear about reports of wage gains, but it's not keeping pace with what's going up. In fact, it's negative. It's a loss of real wages.
Yeah, by several percentage points. A lot of people were caught by surprise by August's CPI and average hourly earnings numbers, which... you know, it does show that that there's still negative. Mm-hmm. I hate to use the oxymoron, negative real growth, negative real wages. Let's put it that way, inflation adjusted wages. And you know, even though July's 8.5% inflation rate was lower than June's. And August's, in some respects, slightly lower than July's, depending on how you look at it. You know, with Jerome Powell saying that, you know, this is no time to press pause on inflation, and some of the other alarming things he said at Jackson Hole at the end of July. I would not look to this Fed for any kind of relief anytime soon. I mean, if they're going to maintain this facade of unity in the coming months, I don't think there's much of anything that's going to twist their arms to continue hiking interest rates as long as inflation prices remain so high, Melody.
Yeah, I mean, you know, okay. It doesn't matter if inflation, if their numbers dropped it to 7% or 6%, prices don't reverse themselves in the real world. You know, you really believe you might see your produce drop. You might see some things drop. Do you think they're going to drop as much as they actually went up? Of course not. It doesn't work that way. It's just like taxes. It's a joke. They come out and say they're going to have all these taxes. You really believe your taxes are going to go down? Of course not. They're going to get you one way or another. They can need the money. They're not going to give you a tax break. You know, if they don't get you here, they're going to get you somewhere else. So, or they'll lower it by this is just an example, by 1%, and then they'll raise it by 8 and 3%. You know, it's just a joke anymore because the numbers don't mean anything. And this is what happens when you live in a fiat currency world. Numbers don't mean anything anymore. There's no value to those dollars. And it's all digits, just like $31 trillion. What does that mean to anyone? People can't even grasp what $1 billion is and what it means. $1 billion is chump change anymore because of the fiat currency and the lack of value in it. When you use credit cards, there's no value anymore to what something costs. You know, it's just a payment you make. And hopefully you can make it. You can make the minimum. You're good. So, you know, what was it, Dave? You'd have like a $5,000 credit card and it takes 30 years to pay it off or something.
I know. Yeah.
I mean, it's
the minimum payment, you know, $50 a month.
It used to be people used to say, well, I'm going to have a car payment the rest of my life. Well, you have a credit card payment for the rest of your life now, too, if you use them and just make the payments, the minimum payments. But there's a lot of people in that boat. When you talk about, you know, people living paycheck to paycheck, and you think they're making any additional amounts on their credit cards and everything else? Nope. So the only way they were able to save any money was when government was able to give them money during 2020. And you saw people use that money to pay down their credit cards. So they're not making it from their paychecks to pay it down. It has to come from government. Student loans, they didn't pay it off. They had to get it the government to give them a break. So that's what government wants, hoping that money comes back into the economy. Well, you think that's not inflationary too? I don't know, Dave. I guess the good news is we've got some used car prices are down. And of course, it's going to reverse. And, you know, now you're going to have new car prices move up. But new car prices have to move up just so they can compete with the electric vehicles. You can't have those new cars lower than the electric vehicles. So, you know, it's all part of the, you know. So you've got used car inventories. They're beginning to grow again. So you've seen some prices soften. And, of course, cars and trucks still carry a pretty high price tag. Data compiled by iccars.com shows dealers continue to mark up new cars over the manufacturer's suggested retail price, with the average transaction price now 10% above the sticker price.
That's amazing.
It really is.
That's amazing. Just pre-pandemic, I mean, the rule of thumb was, you know, go to the dealer, ask them to see their factory invoice, and tell them you want something between, 5 to 10% below that. Or, you know, here's a $200-$300 profit, if you will, over your cost that I'll pay you. But 10% is a lot when you're talking about.
When cars are, you know, the average car is, 40 to 50,000, but you know what, Dave?
What?
If people didn't buy them, if they waited, prices would come down. But I think they've got an audience. There's so many people who buy new cars that, you know, maybe it wouldn't have, but if everybody stopped buying new cars... But then again, they were buying used cars. You couldn't get inventory, and, you know, it didn't seem to make a difference. But I don't know. It's just kind of interesting to see. I mean, it's just like the Silver Eagles. I tell people, don't buy Silver Eagles. And if you quit buying Silver Eagles, the premium will come down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you got to get enough people to stop buying them. You have to start showing it on inventory. And I think that's the key to the higher prices in these new vehicles. If you drive by car lots, their inventory is still lacking. So I don't know if that's by choice or if that is by... I don't think it was as bad as it was. But so until you start seeing these car lots have more inventory, you know, prices will remain high. So anything else to that?
Nope, I think got it covered.
Okay, let's see. Did we already cover this one a little bit? Workers long for a connection?
Mm. No, I mean, we've talked with it in certain terms over the past couple of months, just as employers were calling people back from home.
And they don't want to come back. Or they do for the connection.
Well, not sure it's that simple. Whether or not they want to work at home or whether they want to work at the office, what they want is an environment that produces this connectivity with their fellow workers. And I think the point of this study showed that, you know, if they're not getting that, they're more inclined to look for a job somewhere else. So this dissatisfaction about disconnection, as they call it, making us feel lonely or isolated. You know, it's tough. I mean, certainly when you know your back-to-back meetings are on Zoom or Skype or whatever remote package your employer likes, they probably are feeling less connected. If you're not, you know, I'm not sure if I'd question your sanity. I just question, you know, your focus.
Well, you know, I think it's true. I think there's some people that are made to work out of their homes and others are not. And I think those who need to have structure, they're not meant to work at home because they do need the structure of the office. They do need, they're just not motivated to, you know, they got to do the same thing. They just have to have their orders and they follow them, where, you know, other people can, you know, get the work done, stay focused, do what needs to be done at home and, you know, so forth. So there are different types of workers. And I think a lot of the stories that we might hear, they're trying to group everybody together. And I don't think, you know, I would think with more people working at home, I think we talked about this before, productivity would be less because people aren't disciplined. You know, you're not disciplined to sit there and work 8 hours at your desk and do what you need to do. There's disruptions, there's kids, there's dogs, there's husbands, there's wives, there's, you know, soap opera, there's, you know, things to disrupt that you don't have at work. And so yeah, I would think that either the people that do work at home, they're doing less work. But anyway, I can't believe it's break time already. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. I'm Dave Allen. Melody taking care of other client business, this final segment. I can tell you, we don't have to let you down today. There's plenty of news out there to take care of that on its own. Financial experts almost never advise that you reduce the amount you put toward retirement savings. But financial planners are saying now, with inflation at 40-year highs and not getting any better anytime soon, there's an argument for cutting back temporarily if you're feeling the pinch. You think you need to cut back? Here are three quick steps, they say, to consider first. First, consider a revised budget or other sources of income before you have to cut back on retirement contributions. They say to either create a budget or revisit the one you have. Second, if you're still working, don't miss out on an employer match. Typically, your employer will match a percentage of your 401k contributions, often up to 6% of your pre-tax income. Don't miss out on that opportunity. And third, have a plan for increasing your contributions later when your income has either gone up, prices have stabilized, if you want to open a precious metals IRA, however, call Discount Gold and Silver Trading. Again, that's 1-800-375-4188. Now, Kelsey Williams, who I've just begun reading in the past year, has an interesting Gold Facts blog this week about default, deflation, and depression, what he's calling the three Ds. He writes that inflation is the primary game plan of governmental and central banks. Its effects, he says, have left their mark on societies throughout history. Most people, he adds, think they understand inflation, but they don't. But for now, he says, just let's look the other way because there's a triple-decker bus coming straight at us. Well, I don't believe in that kind of denial, but assuming he's just doing something tongue-in-cheek, he talks about these three Ds. First, default, which he says can happen in three ways: credit default, bank failures, and asset price collapse. In universal credit default happens when we can no longer sustain the debt we've assumed on a scale that just overwhelms ordinary financial and market activity from individuals, corporations, and yes, countries. Bank failures happen when banks violate the reserve requirements set by the Fed and are unable to meet the ongoing demand for money from their customers. Bank failures were a common occurrence during the early 1930s and are evidence of the ongoing risks associated with fractional reserve banking that we see so much of these days. And of course, an asset price collapse is more often than not associated with stock prices. Now, Williams is among the experts who say we're currently in the early stages of another price collapse. We shall see. It certainly seems to be heading in that direction if we're not already there. Then, of course, there's deflation. Deflation's the opposite of inflation. It's a contraction in the supply of money and credit. The effects of deflation result in fewer dollars in circulation and an increase in the purchasing power of the remaining units. In other words, dollars actually buy more, not less, goods and services. But as we know, that doesn't happen quite all of the time, does it? Economists tell us that as deflation takes hold, the prices of goods and services will decline rather than increase. In and of itself, Williams says, deflation per se is a good thing. However, it just doesn't happen that often. When deflation is severe enough, the result actually could be a catastrophic economic depression. And any single one or a combination of the three types of default I just mentioned can result in deflation. That happens because of the huge sums of money involved, trillions and trillions of dollars, literally, which are subsequently wiped out. Now, in general terms, a depression is a severe and prolonged downturn in economic activity. Williams says the stock market crash in 1929 didn't cause the Great Depression. The Great Depression, rather, was the result of a flip-flop in Federal Reserve policy. During the Roaring Twenties, the Fed pursued a generous approach to loans and interest rates because of concern about the rampant stock speculation fueled by their own generosity. The Fed became more restrictive, and economic activity slowed as a result. And this prolonged slowdown in economic activity was underway, even as the stock market crash came in October 1929. So Williams warns that it's quite possible that the Fed's current efforts to raise interest rates could trigger another credit collapse, ushering in deflation and a new Great Depression. He notes that deflation occurs when the system can no longer sustain itself on cheap and easy credit. That sure sounds familiar. The more aggressive the creation of the credit, the more horribly destructive are the effects of deflation when it occurs. Then he observes that the effects of deflation aren't nearly so subtle as those from the long years of inflation preceding it. An implosion of the debt pyramid and destruction of credit would cause a resetting of prices for virtually everything around the world at anywhere from 50 to 90% less than current levels, he says. Williams believes it could translate into a even stronger U.S. dollar and much lower gold price. The most severe effects would be felt in the credit markets and in any asset whose value is primarily determined and supported by the supply of credit available. Conditions, he says, would be much more worse than what we experienced during the Great Recession. The biggest difference would be that the changes would result in another depression, probably on a scale most of us can't even imagine. Depression would last for years, perhaps even decades. Williams says the Fed will try, of course, just as they tried and failed in the 1930s. The Great Depression lasted much longer than necessary because the Fed and the government persisted in efforts to counter the natural effects of deflation. The effects of a credit collapse and deflation now would overwhelm any efforts by the Fed to reinflate and stimulate. Yes, the three Ds, default, deflation, depression, are upon us. If you're focusing on inflation, just be careful if you look the other way. Now, and last today, our latest weekly American Survival Newsletter has hit the street and your email inbox. This week's edition features Doug Nolan's Credibubble Bulletin on the Fed's Q2Z1, as well as Apothecary Herb's Wendy Wilson column on aging. Plus, I have an article on inflation expectations and future Fed hikes. There's a somewhat encouraging sign that Americans view painfully high inflation as a temporary phenomenon. It comes in the form of another sharp drop last month and how steep consumers expect inflation to be in the upcoming years. As shown in the New York Fed's latest survey of consumer expectations. It'll be interesting to see what happens to those expectations next month. Expectations for the level of inflation over the next year fell by about 0.5 percentage point in August. It's a historic monthly decline in the survey's 9-year history, and second only to July's record-breaking drop. Expectations for year-ahead price increases for gasoline also saw another sharp drop, but now consumers expect gas prices to be roughly the same a year from now. The Fed's huge fears that consumer expectations for steep inflation will become a mainstay of the economy, which could force them to act in ways that would help inflation spiral upward. That worst-case scenario doesn't appear to be materializing right now, however. Respondents who aren't nudging up expectations for higher wages in the future. For the 8th straight month, earnings growth expectations held at 3%. Even as inflation expectations move in the right direction, the survey shows consumers expect inflation to be much higher than the Fed's 2% target in the years ahead. Economists expected that the CPI will show that prices fell by 0.1% in August. That would have been the wrong sign. And the reason, well, I mean, gasoline prices did continue to take a dive throughout the U.S. And that, you got to believe, took the air out of the hot inflation while also cheering up consumers' expectations and perhaps voters as well. Our national gas prices averaged $5.02 a gallon back in June, magnifying our preoccupation with inflation. According to AAA, the gallon of a gallon of regular was an average of $3.72 last Friday, more than 25% lower than June's peak. But not all Americans' experience at the pump will reflect that average. As we've talked about, much of California, for example, is the priciest gas because the state requires refiners to produce a blend that meets more stringent anti-pollution mandates than the rest of the country. California also has higher than average gas taxes, which add to the cost at the pump. Now, some analysts are following future prices for RHBOB, or reformulated blend stock for oxygenate blending. It's a mouthful. And that wholesale benchmark tends to move ahead of retail gas leak prices we see at the pump. Well, the RBOB is down more than 10% in the last 10 trading session, and that suggests that even lower retail gas prices are still to come. Now, whatever the Federal Open Market Committee decides to do next on the 21st, next week, I mean, there's more and more consensus that the decision will tilt toward the 75 basis point hike for this third straight meeting. Although, depending how it's postured, today's inflation figure report is postured, who knows what's going to come out of that press conference. In any event, the Fed's no doubt going to feel a need to stay bigger this particular meeting because it was misheard coming out of the late July meeting. Markets actually rallied as they projected that the pain of rate increases might not last as long or be as painful as originally thought. That, of course, led to Powell's tough talk at the Fed's annual Jackson Hole Symposium late last month, aimed at communicating that sense of unanimity and resolve to rein in prices. Well, as many are noting, you just can't say what Powell said and then not take the more aggressive rate increase. Of course, unless some extremely, and I mean extremely compelling data, say they have to suddenly reverse course. Yeah, perhaps there's another big downward spiral in the stock markets tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And that could scare the Fed into doing something differently. Whatever the case, I mean, you got Tim Dye at SGH Macro who anticipates another rate increase of at least half a percentage point in November. I think it's way too premature to be looking too much in detail about that. Just a lot can happen between now and then. In fact, look what happened just today. So we have September, we have October, November, and December. We have three more inflation reports before the end of the year. Now, Dye believes the economy won't tank between now and then, nor will the Fed have enough inflation data to convince it that it's going to restore price stability anytime soon. And in short, the Fed continues to pay the price for being wrong about high prices, being transitory, and for being slow to act. Hey, that's all the time we have for today's program. I'll be back on Thursday. Butch will join Melody tomorrow, along with Wendy Wilson, Pop Perry Evers. Thanks, as always, to our grand producer, Todd, and to your loyal listeners for tuning into Financial Survival. I'm Dave Allen. Please be safe out there. Have a good night. Bye-bye. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got you.